Yo, 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 Thought Warriors. What is up? Higher Learning is on. It is I, Van Lathan.
And it's me, Rachel Lindsay. What's up, Van?
What's up with you? Like, you walked into a very, very serious conversation that we were having. You walked into something, you know, something very serious.
Well, since I didn't hear that conversation, I'd rather we not talk about it because, I wasn't privy to that. To that conversation.
Rach, how was your weekend?
Weekend was good. It was productive. You know, I'm getting prepared for a move here. I was babysitting. My friend, one of my oldest friends, is having a baby in the next week. So I was babysitting the girls. My team
lost this
weekend.
You were babysitting the kids that they already have?
Yeah, the kids they already have. Okay. She's having her third.
Damn. Okay.
Yeah.
Putting that thing to use.
It's just so inappropriate.
What's inappropriate about it?
I don't know. It's like she's about to give birth, you know, just her third child, bring life into this world, and you're like putting that thing to use. You just made it sound so dirty.
It's not dirty, it's what we say.
Anyways.
Shout out to, it's a blessing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Shout out to my friend Premier. She listens to the podcast. So she's definitely going to hear you.
Her name is Premier.
Okay. Van, I'm going to keep going. Anyways, I had dinner with Bree, one of the girls from Matt James' season.
Oh, really?
Do you remember her? Yeah.
Yeah. We had dinner. We talked about it a lot.
I can't talk about it.
It's top
but it was a great conversation. She's lovely. Really enjoyed my time with her. So yeah, it was a good weekend. I'm telling you, very productive. I cleaned out my closet. I went to Goodwill. I mailed off some stuff, like things I've been putting off. I was able to take care of this weekend, so it was good. What about you?
It was cool. It was a cool weekend. It was a chill day on Saturday. I watched my new favorite show, which is Last Chance U Basketball.
Okay. Netflix.
Fantastic.
Is it? It's on my list.
It's on Netflix. It's really good. Deshaun Hyler, his story. Joe Hammond. KJ Allen. All of these guys are on Last Chance U Basketball. Fantastic. I was able to get into that. Just chilled and kind of, you know, got my ducks in a row for this week, you know, inching closer and closer and closer to the Academy Awards. We're going to have very exciting news
about
the movie pretty soon.
Well, one thing you didn't
cross
off your list.
Which is what? Getting the haircut?
Mm-hmm.
I'm still there. I'm a pound and a half away.
Oh, I know. A pound and a half. Well, you should be able to knock that out tonight.
It's going to... Hey, look. It comes when it comes. All right? It comes when it comes. And by the way, one of the funniest direct messages I ever got, I was walking down Pico, and I got a direct message, and it said, "Yo, Van, you all right, bro? I just saw you walking on Pico, and I started to stop and give you some change."
Did you know this person?
I did not. It was just a random person. Like, man, I just saw you walking on Pico, bro. I started to stop and give you some change, man. I'm in my savage stage right now. I am very, very much so a wild man. I do have a little story to tell.
Oh,
Will you indulge me?
Absolutely.
I'm going to talk for a second. Okay. And I'm going to ask the help and the assistance of all the Thought Warriors here. This is a semi-serious story.
Okay, so let me stop smiling.
Okay. So I was taking Bozeman out on Friday. And I saw one of my neighbors who was walking back from Yoshinoya, the fast food Japanese bowl place that I've never had the heart to try. It just doesn't seem like it should exist. I don't do it. But it's one of the oldest fast food restaurants around. That's actually true. But I've never tried it. But he goes back and forth there all the time. And, you know, he's an older guy. He moves a little slow. And Friday I was having a bad day. It's like a little bit of an off day for me. He passes by. He goes, "How you doing?" I go, "I'm okay." He goes, "I think you're going to be doing better than okay. I think you're going to be doing fabulous by the time you go to sleep tonight." And I told him, I go, "Hey, you know what, man? Like, thank you. I really needed that. You know, I really appreciated that. I really needed that. Thank you very much." And I said, every time I see you, you're always so positive. You're so positive. Like, it's amazing. And he goes, well, like, so many things are going on. Positivity is the only way that you can deal with them. I'm like, great. It's amazing.
Very nice.
That was Friday. Sunday, I'm taking Bozeman out. I see that same guy. He's walking towards me. Walking slow. He's got his mask on. Got his Yoshinoya in his hand. And he says, hey, I want to tell you something. He's like, do you know why I'm so positive? And I went, no, why? He goes, because I'm dying. True story.
Hmm.
He goes, I have about 25% of my lung capacity.
Mm.
And I have about 25% of my cardiac capacity left. Mm. I'm dying. I have advanced lung disease. I have advanced heart disease. I'm dying. He goes, I don't do drugs. I don't drink. The only way that I can make it through every day is to put positivity out in the world. The only thing that, only reason why I don't give up, and he's crying now, is because I have to put positivity out in the world. And then he says, I haven't told anybody that.
Oh my gosh.
That's what he told me. He said, I haven't told anyone that. And I stood there paralyzed by the moment, not knowing what I should say.
Yeah.
Having no clue what I should say. And even still, I don't know how to respond. Like, because we're in COVID, he's got a mask on. I can't go give him a hug.
Right.
I can't, especially, you know, I've been partly vaccinated, but especially if I was asymptomatic and then I hugged him, it would really, for someone in his health situation, we just locked eyes and he just made his way slowly down the street. And I feel like I'm talking about it now because there are very few moments where I have no response.
Mm-hmm.
Where I don't know what you say.
Mm-hmm.
And this dude, older white guy, has just an amazingly beautiful spirit.
Yeah.
Just like.
Yeah. He appreciates life in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah.
What did you end up saying to him?
Nothing. We kind of stood there and he went, I know. I know. And then he just walked on.
You know what I would ask him? Like, this is the first thought that popped into my head. I would ask him, well, one, like, what could I do for you? You know, I know he's dying, but still. But two, why he chose to tell you?
I don't know.
That's what I would ask. I bet you he has an answer for it.
I don't know. He comes out. I see him. I greet him with a smile. He greets me with a smile. And I guess one day he saw me without a smile.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw fit, even in with what he's battling, he saw fit to try to give me a smile. And I guess this was a day that he couldn't have a smile because it was, even as he was walking up, his eyes were red.
Mm.
And I couldn't give him a smile back. And it's like, I don't know. It's like one of the rare times that I didn't have a comeback.
Yeah.
So it's just weird. So look,
no,
if you're out,
I mean, go ahead.
No, so I'm just saying, if you're out there and you're listening to the podcast, and do you have any idea what you feel like would be comforting, or if you want to give me some advice on like how to have an interaction with my neighbor now that I know this, I am more than willing to listen to any of those things, but it really floored me. And I don't know.
Van, look at what he gave you. That's how, I mean, it's, he told you for a reason. The first day he asked you, or he gave you something positive, because I don't know if something made him feel like he needed to tell you that. However you were looking, maybe he felt like he could feel you needed that. And then it's almost like he told you that again because not because he was sharing his information. It's more of like to appreciate life in every single moment because you're never going to forget that. You're always going to think about that.
Very true.
That moment, that exchange, that's what he gave you in that moment, like to cherish every moment, to cherish life, to find positivity, even when things seem hopeless. Somebody listening to this podcast needed to hear that story. That's what he gave you.
You never know what people are going through.
No, you don't. And I would tell him that when you see him, like what he gave you in that moment.
Oh, man, oh, man. Man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. Like, just, I didn't know if I could pray with him because I didn't know if he...
Sure.
Sometimes you try to pray with people and they don't, that offends them. If it would have been last summer, well, not last summer, if it would have been summer before last, I would have just gave him a hug or...
Yeah.
It's just... And it's like... And the entire time he's talking, like Bozeman is trying to play with him. Because he can't, you know, he doesn't know the difference. He just sees life and he sees something to interact with and something to... So, it's crazy. Crazy, man.
Well, Copper just had surgery today, so...
Oh, Copper had surgery? What, he tore his ACL?
No, please don't put that on my child.
I don't think dogs have ACLs.
No, he's got No. I know people, it's very expensive when your dog tears that.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, no, it's very, thousands of dollars if you don't have pet insurance. He had like a little fatty lump that I had got it tested twice.
Wait a minute. Hold on. I know you didn't send Copper to get lipo. You need to tell. Oh, hold on, man. See what
I'm
saying?
Didn't even cross my mind.
Hold on for a second.
Stop.
Copper
no,
over
said,
here.
Stop.
Copper, you mean to tell me Copper went to Beverly Hills and
stop.
He's like, Copper got lipo? Did Copper
stop.
Get a BBL?
Stop.
Wait a minute. Copper got a Brazilian butt lift. Copper
not.
Got it, the fat takedown and put it in his
not.
Butt.
You will not.
Rachel over here, Trudy, you
Bozeman,
hear this?
Bozeman, no.
Rachel over here paying for BBLs
absolutely
for dogs.
Absolutely not. You will not make fun of my child's
That's
medical
crazy.
Condition. He's got a fatty lump. I had to test it twice because it grew to make sure that it wasn't cancerous. Mm-hmm. It's not. But because it's growing, I had it removed. So he had it removed today. So
and
now
lipo.
He's in a cone. And then Copper will be the exact same size. And
he got fatty.
Thing.
I bet he got a fatty,
he had to
fatty
get
lump.
His teeth. He had to get his, he's got some, you know, he's older. He's about seven, almost seven. So
and
he
got
to get
veneers?
Okay.
Wait a minute.
What's
oh
the next
my
time
God.
Done? I will
Wait
say
a
no
minute.
More.
Copper
no
got
more.
Copper got a BBL. And he got no. veneers. What, is Copper an Instagram model?
Well, he does have an Instagram page.
See what I'm saying? I'm telling you,
but
Copper,
no.
next... Go to Copper shit right now. Copper and Fashion Nova right now. Oh, is this... Is he okay, though? Seriously.
He's fine. I got a call from the doctor. He's fine.
That's dope.
We'll All post right. a picture of Copper tomorrow because I need people to understand. That sounds like an LA thing, though, right? It so sounds...
All right, let's take a break real quick.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
This episode is brought to you by Thomas's.
Thomas's presents Pondering the Bagel with Tom.
Oh, the paradox of the bagel. Tis crunchy yet soft. Tis filling yet has a hole. Tis a vehicle for spreads, but only travels from toaster to plate. Thomas's, huzzah, a toast to breakfast.
Okay, Lil Mama, you remember her? Remember Lil Mama? Lip gloss is cool. My lip gloss is popping. That was a song,
T-Boss,
right?
T-Boss. Yeah, yeah. T-Boss and TLC T-Boss. Biopic.
Oh, yeah, she was T-Boss and the TLC.
That's probably I don't watch those. That's probably the last thing.
I don't watch that shit. I don't watch none of that shit. When they do that shit, like VH1.
Like Lifetime movies?
Lifetime biopic. Those people be deserving better, man. They do.
You mean the people that they're, the originals?
I heard Wendy's was pretty good.
Which Wendy?
I heard Wendy's was pretty good.
She did a really good. It was so fast though. It felt like a bunch of vignettes because there was so much to her life, and they rushed it in 2 hours. It was good.
Right. So I heard Wendy's was good, but other than that, I try not to watch those. But so she, Lil Mama, was in that. She was in the TLC one, is what you're saying.
Yeah, she's T-Boss. No, she wasn't.
She was Left Eye.
I think I just made this. She was Left Eye.
You don't know nothing. Right
I saw it though.
I know she was in it.
She was Left Eye. She was Left Eye.
She was Left Eye. Okay. So Lil Mama decides she's gonna help her fellow man. She is gonna start a heterosexual rights movement. At least she said this on Twitter. So this is what happened to Lil Mama. She used to be a host on a show that I loved with a capital L, called America's Best Dance Crew. Did you watch that?
I've seen some episodes.
It was amazing. Randy Jackson would come out. It was Randy Jackson Presents America's Best Dance Crew. Randy Jackson would come out at the beginning or at the end of the show, but they had J.C. Chazé was a judge. Yeah.
Okay, I do remember. I do remember.
Then they had another guy that was a judge, and he got us in trouble. And then, but they had the Jabberwockies were on there. Fanny Pack was on there.
That's when I watched
Super Crew was on there. It was a great show, and she was on there for a little while, too. So I guess... and I couldn't find the clip. I couldn't find the clip of exactly what she said on the show, but it was transphobic. According to Twitter.
She said, quote, okay, go ahead. You have the quote?
No, you got the quote.
She said, quote, I just feel that you always have to remember your truth. You were born a man and you are becoming a woman. That's what she told a transgender dance crew leader on America's Best Dance Crew in 2009.
Yeah. Well, number one, that's not her truth, little mama. That's your truth. So, number one, it just pisses me off when people do stuff like that. But for full disclosure, we asked Lil Mama to join us on Higher Learning today.
We did.
She passed. She declined just so that we didn't take her words out of context or anything like that. I'm sure they're trying to figure out what it is that they're going to say or what it is they're going to do. Anyway, so she doubled down on that. She got criticized for it. She then did an Instagram Live where basically she talked about the fact, she did Instagram Live with Riza Islam where she talked about the fact that she thinks it is damaging to children and that they are trying to, that she thinks that there is an LGBTQ plus agenda that is potentially damaging to children. And they're using that agenda to sort of depopulate the population. It's kind of what she said. Now, you guys can go listen to this yourself, but she talked about it. She said, if you're old enough and you want to have gender reassignment surgery and you want to do certain things, that's fine, but she feels as if it's being pushed on children for a specific agenda. She wants to start a heterosexual rights movement. Your thoughts, Rachel?
You know, my first thought was, I had to relook at it when you said Lil Mama. I was like, Lil Mama, that's who's saying this? I honestly thought the worst thing that Lil Mama could do was when she hopped on stage uninvited at the New
Jay-Z?
York performance.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Alicia Keys and Jay-Z. Waltzed up on stage and crossed her arms and put her back to Jay-Z. I thought that was the worst thing that she could do until this moment right here. I don't understand what Lil Mama's doing. Obviously, when I was looking into this, I had no idea that back in 2009, she had made comments before that were transphobic. So here we are in 2021, and you are still thinking that way 12 years later, and you're doubling down on it. And not only are you expressing your opinions, now you want to start an entire movement. That's deep. I thought somebody needs to do a wellness. Something is wrong. Seriously, seriously wrong with her. And the fact that she wants to start a movement about being straight. Is that what it is? To defend straight people?
She feels like, and I can read it exactly, the post itself. what she said was that she feels like there are a lot of people, a lot of straight people out there who have opinions and who want to say things, but they are afraid of bullying from the LGBTQ+ community. She is sick of it. This was exactly what she said. Y'all fight so hard to be respected, and some of y'all, not all, get a kick out of bullying people for having an opinion. How they dress, how their hair or how their makeup looks, how much money they have, etc. There are so many people afraid to give their honest opinion because if they do, the LGBTQ+ community will hear what they want to hear and take statements out of context. I don't have to prove myself by reminding people I have loved ones of the LGBTQ+ community. When I speak, I'm not trying to hurt anyone. I'm just speaking my truth, just like you all.
But you know what? Like, she's gone beyond speaking what she's calling her truth. You're trying to start a whole movement and gather people and rally people to go against an entire community. Like, and you want to, I just don't understand why people want to be oppressed so bad, why people want to find a reason that people are hating on them or whatever it is that she's trying to create. The fact that she's trying to make herself seem like some type of victim in all of this, the fact that you're taking a group who, there are certain institutions that are out here to exclude them and to exterminate them for being who they are, how they identify, and you're trying to equate yourself to their struggle. It just makes absolutely no sense. Like, just go away and be ignorant and dumb and take that with you somewhere else. But to rally a whole bunch of people to basically who are going to go against who these people are and what they believe, not what they believe, but just who they are and how they identify, is insane to me. I'm not understanding the motive behind all of this.
Well, I think the motive behind it is very simple. I think a lot of times when people say, if you ask me my opinion, since we're all allowed to give our opinions and not really just spot them off, I think she sees something inherently wrong with the community, right?
And well, so, obviously, yeah.
And the way that you know this is, the way people paint things is always in some nefarious way, right? So there's like a silent connection made between LGBTQ people and then kids. That's how it gets done. What happens is, well, what about a kid that needs to, that identifies in a certain way? Well, what about a child? Well, what about this? Don't you feel that this is wrong for kids? This is for kids. See, anytime something, we want to believe that something is dangerous, what we do is, or make people believe that something is dangerous, we always pit it against innocence, right? Because when you become an adult, people then say, hey, well, adults do a whole bunch of things that we don't agree with or whatever. Adults can do whatever. But to really drive home to people who you're trying to persuade that something is bad, that you make innocence its adversary. So then you ask people a question. You go, would you want your children doing this?
Did little mama do this?
This is exactly what she did. Because what she said when she was on her Instagram Live was, she said, hey, I think that, you know, you guys can listen to Instagram Live, when my little niece walks up to me and says, hey, I want to be a boy because boys can do this and boys can do that and boys can do this and boys can do that. You tell her, hey, you don't want to be a boy. Girls can do that too. Well, whatever. What if she makes that decision and then later on she decides that she doesn't want to be that anymore? Okay. First of all, that happening is exceedingly rare. Exceedingly rare.
Yeah.
All right? But the other part of it is, when your niece comes up to you and she says that to you, you know what you can say to her? You can say whatever you want to your niece. You can say whatever you want to your kid.
Exactly.
And then that person, that child, can then grow on a trajectory of either being supported by their parent or being at odds with their parent. But I tell you what you can't do, whether you agree, disagree, or kind of get it, is you can't look at somebody else's relationship with their child and tell them what they are supposed to do. Like,
exactly.
You can't. You can't at all. By the way, by and large, nobody's having gender reassignment surgery at 12, 11,
That's
10
what
years
I'm
old.
Saying.
Like, this is not happening. These are all red herrings and things being thrown out there. I'm going to be honest with you. Do I understand everything about the experience of LGBTQ people? No, I don't. I don't at all. But because I don't understand everything about their experience, I don't assert that I do. What Lil Mama is doing more than anything is showing us just how much stupidity can be a torturous weapon. She doesn't know what she talks about. She's wrong. She thinks she's right. And so the reality is that just who asked you? I'm a heterosexual. I'm heterosexual. I didn't ask you to start a group for me.
No.
I didn't ask you.
But apparently as I was like really reading into this and going deep, apparently this is a trend that like this movement she's referring to. Did you see this? It's like they're calling themselves super straight because they're saying they're getting accused for being transphobic because they wouldn't date a trans woman or transgender man.
Okay.
And so they're creating this whole movement of, well, I'm just going to call myself super straight because straight isn't enough anymore. Because if you're straight, but you say you only date like cisgender, then people were calling you transphobic.
Who cares?
I agree with you.
Who you would date.
I agree with you.
Do you know how you know that they're privileged? Do you know how you know that this is coming from a place of privilege? Ain't nobody ask you about that.
Exactly.
Ain't nobody ask you about that. Nobody asked you. Nobody asked you, would you do what you would do? Who cares who you want to sleep with? Nobody asked you. All we're asking you is you not to make who you want to sleep with or how you want to be or what you identify as a mark of a superior human experience.
Right, right, right.
So yeah. That's it. You can do whatever you want, but don't say that.
You can do whatever you want. You are required to date a certain way, have sex a certain way, but to organize to organize a movement around it all is the issue. Like that, it's so ironic. Like you're basically persecuting people because you're saying you're being persecuted. It's just
nobody
so wrong.
Is persecuting
so
Lil Mama. Nobody is persecuting
nobody.
Her. She said something that people disagree with, and people they doing what they do. Remember, you have a right to an opinion, but you don't have a right to acquire. That's just going to sing on command.
Mm.
You have a right to an opinion. Think whatever you want to think. Say whatever you want to say. But that don't mean that we can't say whatever we want to say. And what she was talking about, to be honest with you, doesn't align itself with any type of statistical analysis or with most of the experiences of the people that I know that represent that community. She's talking about anecdotally what's coming to kill your kids. And the reality is when people start talking about that, it has less to do with understanding the human experience and more to do with subjugating the human experience.
Right.
So she got to do better. All right. Saweetie and Quavo broke up.
Which we alluded to this on the last podcast, but you weren't quite privy to this information. But now it's official. At the time, Saweetie had not made a statement.
Yeah. She said she broke up with Quavo after too much betrayal and hurt behind the scenes for a false narrative to be circulating that degrades my character. I don't know what the false narrative was. Do you know what the false narrative was? Who's degrading Saweetie's character? What did they say about her?
I haven't done too much betrayal and hurt behind the scenes for a false narrative to be circulating.
What is this false narrative that was circulating about Saweetie? Does anyone here know?
I think she's more so referring to the fact that they have this picture-perfect relationship when in reality they don't. So maybe degrading her character in the sense that she's, I don't know. Maybe the degrading character is throwing me off. But the false narrative is that they have a picture-perfect relationship and they don't.
So Quavo, he gave her a Bentley for Christmas. He didn't take back the Bentley. People were talking about this. They went back and forth. They both each alluded to things about each other's characters. So I guess the takeaway here is that I guess people are saying that Quavo was cheating.
She said it.
She said it. Okay, let me ask you a question. Quavo is how old?
29.
He's 29 years old. He's a 29-year-old rapper, okay?
I don't have any. Go ahead.
Is it fair? I'm asking.
Yes, it's fair. You're going to be in a relationship and commit to me. Okay. Don't commit to me then.
I'm not saying that it's
I know where you're going.
I'm not saying.
So if you're a rapper in your 20s, and the world is at your feet.
No, I'm not saying that what he did was not wrong. Of course it was.
Okay.
What I'm saying is, should she not expect?
No, see, that's not right.
Okay.
Because
all right.
That's not right. No. That's not fair. So if you check off these things off a list, a woman should expect you to not be faithful.
No. I'm not saying, what I'm saying is that.
That is exactly what you said.
Is it a surprise?
Yes. They've been together for 3 years. He is in a public relationship with her. I'm not going to fault her for trusting that he was faithful
to
her.
There's no
fault. If he promised that to her, that's not fair to say to expect for him to be a certain way just because that is a stereotype of a person who's in their 20s and a rich and a rapper and like can have anybody he wants. You just said that. You said that was a stereotype.
Yes, you said it's an expectation. What I'm saying is that they're kids. All right, he's not super young, but they've been together how long?
They got together when they were 26. Don't give an excuse to Quavo for him acting.
It wouldn't even be Quavo. Even if it were her, I'd be like, come on, man, they're kids.
Because she's come out before in interviews and talk about how like she hasn't been in a lot of relationships because, you know, like she's very sensitive to that or she's like she keeps that like close to the chest, like she doesn't really put herself out there, so it takes for her a lot for her to open herself up and give herself to someone in that way. Mm-hmm. And then he's out here, basically everybody thought Offset was the one who was stepping out and turns out it was Quavo the whole time, and it turns out based on how she tweeted about it that she knew about it, and he seemed to be, I guess, asking for forgiveness with a Bentley or a Birkin or something like
whoa,
that.
Whoa, whoa, I'm glad you bring up the Birkins. I'm glad you bring up
Ella Birkonian.
Okay. What did she say? She said that if your man can't buy you a Birkin bag, then give him back to the streets. Now, listen. Hold on for a second. Let me put on my toxicity. Put on my toxic cloak. Oh, it feels so good. I was just righteous a second ago. Now I'm about to get toxic. Don't you think that commodifying a relationship like that, commodifying it, saying that a person, a human being, that if a person can't deliver you certain goods, doesn't that type of transactional sort of, I don't know, structure lend itself to somebody thinking that if they take care of you, that they can do whatever they want?
Okay. No. Only if.
Okay.
Only if. Because we talked about this and I like was uh-huh. not cool with her making that type of comment. We talked about this. We had this conversation. To me, it only lends toward what you're saying if you accept it after they did something like that. Right? So you step out, you do something wrong, and you want to ask for forgiveness by giving me something material. Then it's an issue.
Right.
Then it's like, yeah, that's the only way it is. But I mean, listen, we talked about that. She addressed that later on in an interview. I didn't know this until I was uh-huh. looking all this up. But she said, the quote she said is, if he's not getting you a Birkin, if he's not paying your bills, then throw him back to the streets. And she said that because that's what comes along with being valued. So she's putting her value in a purse, in a car, in gifts. And that's what shows you have, it comes with, quote, having a healthy relationship. It comes with getting gifts. It comes with being spoiled.
This is not excusing his behavior,
but it just lets me know that like you're valuing the wrong things in a relationship because that ain't love. Giving you materialistic things, obviously it's not.
That might be love for her, but that's not what she said. She didn't say, so here's the thing. That might be love for her.
She says that determines, that shows value. And it comes with a healthy relationship.
Right.
Clearly not, because you left him.
I know, but this is what I'm saying. People have to understand. Many people look at this different ways. Okay. But she didn't say that this is what I need. She says this is what everybody needs. Because yes. she said if your man isn't doing this, then throw him back to the streets. And so what I'm looking at that, when I look at something like that, is like you have to think that if you look at things that way, that there's going to be something on the other side that comes with that. You have to believe.
So your guy can't spoil you with gifts. And that means that there has to, that he has to be doing something on the other side of it.
I'm telling you that if it was about feeling and connection and all of the, and all of that stuff, then it would be about that stuff. If it's about what somebody can do for you, somebody that would enter into a relationship and be comfortable with the relationship being about what it is that they can do for you, right? Mm-hmm. Things that they can spin you. That's probably a person that's going to look at self-gratification in a very specific way. So to me, when
that
I
look, part, I agree.
So to me, I look at this entire thing kind of in a holistic thing. She's allowed to, when women say that they have to, that they need Birkin bags or they need stuff like that, or they need their bills paid, I don't have any problem with that.
I don't either.
I don't, but what I will tell you that is there's a very specific type of man that is going to do all of that and then not do a bunch of other things. There's a very specific type of guy that's going to completely take care of you, right?
I'm not doubting you.
Completely do all of that stuff. Most guys that do that, they do that so they don't have to hear what you're talking about.
Okay, I'm not going to disagree with that. I more so think the moment that, because she says it, she's like, she says something about a Band-Aid. She says, hold on. Where is her quote? Man, I can't find it. Hold on. I can't find the quote. She says something about...
Yeah, I got it.
Thank you.
She said, presents don't band-aid scars, and the love isn't real when the intimacy is given to other women.
So that's okay. My issue. She's basically, she allowed him to give her gifts to excuse his behavior. And he just continued to do it.
She's still a young woman. Like, I'm sure they'll both figure out what it is that works for them in a relationship and what doesn't work for them in a relationship.
Well, this ain't it.
It doesn't seem like it is. It doesn't seem like it is. But I can tell you what. It was a broke nigga holiday when they broke up, because there is nothing more fragile than the male ego. And every single guy, when I tell you there's nothing more fragile, I've said this before, than the male ego. The male ego is so fragile. Like, literally.
You don't have to tell me. I already know.
I know guys that judge their worth off how well they played in the last pickup basketball game they were in.
Yeah, it's, you know, so simple.
You go to the hoop, you score for the whole weekend, you'll feel dope. But if you play bad, especially around some guys you didn't know, like, you're not going to feel good about that till you get back on the court. That's how men are like that in a lot of ways. Not every man, but men are like that in a lot of ways. So when they broke up and she was talking about the presents don't matter, like, all my homies that can't afford Birkins was like, hell yeah. We back now, out here.
Now the presents don't matter. Listen, can we just talk for a second, too, though, about how Quavo ain't shit for his response?
What
you are not
say?
The woman I thought you were.
I don't even
I'm
understand
disappointed that.
That
you did all that. Because she aired out his dirty laundry. He's right. Mad. He's more like, just break up with me and just keep it moving. You ain't got to tell everybody what I was out here doing. You ain't got to dog me in the process. He's mad about that. Like, I don't, I hate that he said that to her. Quavo ain't shit. But I'm sure his DMs will pop in too.
Why you don't like Quavo anymore? Like, you're
that's
over
why.
It.
That's why. Shout out to the Wild Aces who beat Quavo's team in the People's Championship in FCF football this weekend.
So
he took two L's this week.
Are you looking at Quavo as toxic now? Is Quavo in the future category for you?
He's not in the future category.
I'm not, because future. Future.
He's not in the future category.
Future is, because there's different levels of toxic, right? Future is Hall of Fame toxic.
Yeah, no, Quavo's not there.
Future is the why I say Future is like an expert gaslighter. He is an expert gaslighter.
This is gaslighting right here. So he's definitely taking a page out of Future's book.
Crazy. Let's take a break.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
This episode is brought to you by Hyundai. You could be doing anything this week, right? You've got work, errands, friends, and a whole lot of fun in between. That's why the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the capable SUV that's built for your life. With premium interiors, available wireless charging, and room for your whole cargo and crew. Okay, Hyundai. Visit HyundaiUSA.com to learn more about the all-new 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe.
Hey, Rachel is going down in Miami right now.
It's not funny.
It's going it's down. Funny. Yo, Miami is fucking silly. Seriously, man. Miami looks so crazy right now. Like they send clips out. I've seen clips of just, it's like, it's every part of ratchet culture at the same time. I'll see a clip in Miami. I legitimately saw a clip of a waiter running after a guy who had skipped out on his bill, right? And boom, when you watch that clip, it's girls twerking in the clip as well. It's fights. It's twerking. It's nobody with
fast
a mask.
Fast cars.
With those little, what do you call those little cars with the three seats? What do you call them? What do you call those little cars?
I don't know, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. It's like, and everybody's out there doing the wrong thing at the same time. Miami right now is called the wrong thing.
Is that how you pictured how people would be when the world opens up? I feel like they just jumped ahead because everybody keeps talking about how wild it's going to be, right? Sodom and Gomorrah. That's what Miami looks like. People were like, we can't wait. It's spring break. You're not about to take a second spring break away from us. We're out here. You saw the video with the crowd, just a sea of people standing on top of cars, all singing the same song. Couldn't figure out what song it was. I mean, it's like they're taking
That's the song they were singing, Lift Every Voice and Sing.
No, they weren't. Stop. Brian's out there. He's like, you don't understand because we live across the bay. So you can see South Beach from where we live and you see the freeways going over. So they stopped apparently, or they were supposed to stop the freeways, the traffic. So you couldn't get into South Beach unless you were staying at a hotel, which is everybody, right? That's the issue. Nobody's leaving South Beach. Everybody's staying there. Said it's just packed wall to wall to wall. So, you know, people were probably just getting out their cars in the freeway.
What if you saw Brian out there?
No, we're not going to do this. First copper. Now, Brian, we're not doing this thing. We're not attacking my whole family.
Brian out there getting live. Like, you know,
I'd be like, y'all want to see a dead body?
Oh, exactly. Right. So, look, there's an APM curfew there in the entertainment district. They were firing pepper balls into the crowd. I don't know, man.
It just turns people up even more.
I think that people get turned up. People eating them pepper balls. God, boom. That tastes like some Tony Satchery. Ah! Man, put that little baby on, man. I'm trying to get that Pusheisty. Man, put that Pusheisty on.
I would be scared.
Man, put that Pusheisty on. They're going nuts in Miami. They're going nuts in Miami.
And spring break is not just one week, y'all. We about to see the same thing next weekend, too.
I know. It's crazy. They're going to have to bring in the X-Men. Seriously. They're going to have to bring in superhuman fighters. X-Men. The X-Men to get the people
This isn't Ringerverse, but if you want to plug it for a second, go ahead.
It's so funny. Wolverine out there slashing people up.
Go ahead. Did you ever go to Miami back when everybody used to go Memorial Weekend? Because this is Memorial Weekend behavior.
Yeah.
See, I never did. I went when everybody switched it up and started going to Vegas.
I went to Vegas too.
That became the move.
I've been to the Holy Grail of Ratchet. the Infinity Gauntlet of Ratchet Spring Breaks. Okay, this is the Infinity Gauntlet of Ratchet Spring Breaks.
In Miami or Vegas?
No, this is all of them. I'm gonna give you all of the Infinity Gauntlet of Ratchet Spring Breaks okay. right here. This is all of them. If you've collected all of these rings, you Ratchet like me. Daytona Beach.
You went to Daytona?
Hell yeah. Daytona okay. Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Freaknik, I did underage. Daytona
Beach. Is it Freaknik in Daytona Beach?
No, Freaknik is in Atlanta. And that is was it? Just you. Yeah. We're going to need you to go ahead and tone it down if you don't know where Freaknik is.
No, see, I know what Freaknik is. I didn't know where it was. It's before my time.
Oh, yeah. I guess you can make that excuse. But
I definitely know what it is.
Okay. Okay.
I definitely know what Freaknik is.
See, that's how I know. You know why you weren't at Freaknik?
Because I was too young.
Because the judge had you in there watching Benny Hinn. That's why. You wanted to go to spring break. And the judge was like, there shall be no spring break because Jesus never took a break.
I was way too young to hit Freaknik.
Jesus doesn't take off the season to save souls. Now,
Van,
get around.
How old were you? Van, how old were you going to Freaknik?
I was a little too young. Like, we went, but by the time I went, it wasn't Freaknik.
It wasn't what it was. Yeah.
No, but it was like, but I went like 97, 98, I was 17, 18.
Yeah,
you know what
I
mean?
Was 12.
Anyway,
yeah,
come on now. So here's the thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, keep going. Daytona.
Freaknik, mm-hmm. Kappa Beach Party, yes. In Galveston, Texas.
I do know Kappa Beach Party.
Kappa Beach Party in Galveston. These are the three. Miami,
mm-hmm.
And the fifth is Vegas. These are the five Ratchet Spring Break stones. And I got the whole gauntlet.
I'm three out of five.
I got that. And that don't even get me started on like White Ratchet. Don't get me started on Panama City or South Padre Island. Don't get me started on Cancun. Don't get me started on Cancun Senior. Don't get me started on that. All right. But I went to all of them. That's why when I see this type of energy, it lets me know it lets me know I'm getting old because I think I'm like the judge. I look at these kids and I'm like, where's the guidance? I'm like, it's really too lit in Miami right now. But there's a racial element to this. There is an APM curfew, and Stephen Hunter Johnson, who is the chairman of the Miami-Dade County Black Affairs Advisory Board, told the Miami Herald, "I was very disappointed. I think when they're young black people on South Beach, the response is, oh my God, we have to do something." Do you agree with that sentiment from Mr. Hunter Johnson?
I guess I only see young black people on South. I only know to see black people on South Beach. It's hard for me to answer that question because I see young people. I mean, I know that it's not only black people, but even speaking from experience of going to Miami back in the day during these hot weekends, it was a lot of black people. Black people like to congregate and go to these places. So I'm sure there is a racial element. I'm not going to take that away from it. I'm sure they respond a certain way when they see a huge crowd of black people. But even living in Miami, when I used to work out of South Beach, I would see black people more than I would see anybody else. Black mm-hmm. people frequent South Beach.
Black people frequent South Beach. There's a lot of different types of people on South Beach, though.
Yeah, like, there's a lot. No doubt there's a lot, but there are a lot of black people.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm sure the response is not, I'm sure they would respond differently if it was not a crowd of black people. Absolutely.
Well, I mean, look, my only thing is this. Have there been 8 o'clock curfews in past spring breaks?
I think they're getting it because of COVID. It's not because
So that to me is the thing then. Then it has nothing to do with who's black.
No.
So my thing is every time there's a spring break or it's a Memorial Day, especially if you go down there for Memorial Day, then you're going to see it's like all over the place. I don't remember. I've been down there for Memorial Day. I don't remember any APM curfews then.
No, it's because of COVID. They're trying to limit the crowds. That's what the curfew is about. Because if you've been down there like Van and I during these times.
Hell yeah.
We've seen it before. You've been in the mix.
Lit. When I say lit, they know what I'm talking about. Lit. Where Van at? He on Ocean Drive and he lit.
Stop.
Where Van at? He at the Clevelander and he
lit. That's
Where Van at? Van at Nikki Beach. Lit. Okay, do we even know where Van's at right now? Van's at 11. Lit. After this, guess where we're going to go? We going to Prime 112, and we going to get
so overrated.
Lit.
So and then we gonna overrated. Go to y'all don't go to Prime 112.
Joe's Stone Crab, and we going to get lit.
Where you ending the night? Where you ending the night?
The Chicken Kitchen. Down there in Miami, and we going to be lit. People know. People know, but no place goes as hard as the Kappa Beach Party, by the way. No place.
Kappa
no place.
Beach Party.
The Kappa Beach Party was the Kappa Beach orgy. I've turned down sex in Galveston, but like, I can't do this.
Who organized the Kappa Beach Party? That's what I never...
I can't remember.
Because it's not like it's a big step show. Like, oh my gosh, what was it? There was one at A&M. We had Icebreaker in Texas. Like, everybody used to come to these. Mm-hmm. God, what was it? I was literally just talking to a friend about
this. I can't remember, but I'll tell you this. They stopped calling it the Kappa Beach Party, and they started calling it the Galveston, the Texas Beach Party. But I'll tell you one thing.
I do remember when they
the Texas Beach Party. But I'll tell you one thing. Like, going down there, it was like... Like even 20-year-old me, I was like, "Yo, this is too much. Like we're not supposed to be doing this. Like I feel bad. Like you know, you'll call your mom and stuff like that. Like mom, like
is that what you did?
No. It's like that was debauchery. Like the streets were like that was debauchery.
It was the first time I'd seen anything like it. Yeah. My Benny Hinn eyes weren't ready for that.
Benny Hinn. All right. Kylie Jenner is trying to help her fellow man. I guess her makeup artist was in a very serious accident. And then right. Kylie Jenner took to social media to ask her fans for donations for the makeup artist. The makeup artist needed $60,000. Kylie donated $5,000. And they tore her ass up. They tore Kylie's ass up because Kylie is worth over $1 billion. And people thought, why don't you just pay for it rather than asking us for it? One woman said that Kylie's net worth of around 1 point something billion bucks, the $5,000 that she donated to the makeup artist is akin to someone who was worth $100,000 donating 56 cents to something.
Yeah.
Do you think it's fair to criticize Kylie for going online and trying to raise his money rather than not just giving it?
Well, Kylie tried to explain herself. Apparently, she said she saw the post on someone else's page, went to look at the GoFundMe. At the time, the GoFundMe was only for $10,000. So she contributed to the rest for them to meet their goal.
Right.
Then she posted it on social and it got more attention. So they expanded the amount. And now I think the amount is like at $120,000.
Doing really well.
Do I think that it's fair for what was the question?
Do you think it's fair for people to have jumped on Kylie about this?
I mean, I think it looks bad, right? I think it looks bad for her to only donate $5,000. I understand her explanation. I think it looks bad. But my thing is, I would have just paid it and not said anything, you know, like anonymously paid it, reached out to the family. What is it that he needs? I want to help out. He's done so much for me. You know, you guys hit me up and tell me what it is that you need. I think she just brought so much attention to it, unnecessary attention to it, that now people, you almost kind of open the door for people to have an opinion about you giving a measly $5,000. Especially now that you know that it's more.
I'm not outraged that she asked. I'm outraged that she was stupid enough to ask. That type of lack of self-awareness just really bothers me. Like I'm not mad that she tried to use her platform. I'm mad that she couldn't see that
Why?
Wouldn't be a big
because Why are you shocked by that is what I'm saying. It's called sustained privilege. She was born into a wealthy family and she's still wealthy. She is so detached from reality.
But that's the thing that bothers me is like you have to know that's not going to be a thing, especially in the current economic climate that we are in, that asking people who don't have it to chip in And by the way, it's an easy story for her. It's a layup. If she pays the medical bill outright, not only do it not hurt her, it makes her look like a saint.
Right.
But even when it's right there, privilege just makes you look. It's not the worst thing. It's not the worst thing in the world, by the way. She still did something good. But just the fact that they can't see that just shows you how far removed. You know, and yeah. it makes me shoot for something. I never want to be that far removed. No matter what.
I was
what,
just how. About to say, would you ever want to be that out of touch where you can't even come down and understand what the rest of us or other people are out here going through? There's like a study that says that people with less money are more likely to give more to individuals than people with money. Like people with money donate to charities and stuff like that. But there's a study that shows that you're just more connected to people. And so,
you're saying that Bill Gates walks by people on the street and don't give them no bread?
Nope. I didn't say that at all. And I knew, and I'm not even surprised that you just jumped to that conclusion. But there is a study out there that's like, and I get that. You're more in touch. You're more connected to people.
Yeah. So you think,
no, I'm not even going to go here.
Like Jay-Z and Beyonce just like walk by people and then like, they don't go.
You popped off. I said they give to charities, to things, disasters that happen, but. See, the podcast started off the wrong way. You started off this podcast telling somebody else's business.
Who?
Right?
Whose business?
And you've been messy for the rest of the podcast.
Whose business did I tell? Talk about Jackson?
Jackson.
Oh, look. The thing is, Jackson's
And it's just set the tone and the energy for the rest of the podcast.
So, this is always tough to get into these stories. Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson is in a hell of a lot of trouble.
Right.
There are now, I think, 13 different. I think there are more.
Did it go up to 13?
Am I wrong about that? Somebody fact check me on that.
The number keeps growing. Last I saw was 11, but I think that they were saying
as of right now, it's 13.
As of right now, there are 13 women, 13 lawsuits against Deshaun Watson. There's a lawyer down there in South Texas. His name is Tony Busby. He is representing these women. And the charges stem around Deshaun Watson's conduct in different massage parlors or spas. There are different accusations. Some women are saying that he asked them for oral sex. Some women are saying that he exposed himself to them. Some women are saying that he rubbed his genitals on them. There's a whole gamut of things. And one of the women said, that he scarred her for life after he tried to force her to give him oral sex in August of 2021. Another woman has said that he groped her buttocks and vagina during a June 2020 massage. So it's bad. It's bad. It's bad. The accusations are bad, and they're, you know, Deshaun Watson, from everything that you ever got from him, is a very nice stand-up kid. So the question surrounding this is this: no criminal charges filed yet. This Deshaun Watson maintains his innocence. As a matter of fact, this same story existed the last time we recorded, but we didn't really cover it because we didn't know where it was going or what was going to happen with it.
Right.
Now you have 13 different allegations. How do you navigate this?
Man.
Like, what do you think? In the climate that we live in right now, what is the proper way to address a situation like this involving a public figure that you may or may not have liked?
Well, who are you saying? Who, the proper way for who to address?
People. Like for example.
Okay, go ahead.
So, for example, you're a dude. I'm not a big Texas fan, but I like Deshaun Watson, right?
Sure.
He has 13 different allegations. None of them have been proven. Nothing's set in stone. But 13 allegations is 13 allegations. So the question then becomes, how do we navigate these things? You want to be in a situation to where you want answers to something before you make a determination. But at the same time, you want to be in a situation. And by the way, this is not just for Deshaun Watson. This is for any of the. This is not the last time we've dealt with this, or the first time. It's not going to be the last time. And I guess the question is, you could name any of the myriad of people that are in this, even in the same situation with T.I. and Tiny. What is the playbook now to deal with this? Like, how do we deal with this?
I think you don't jump to conclusions and you don't jump to assumptions, but at the same time, sexual assault is a real thing.
Yeah.
And you have to give deference to the victims because they need to be heard. You have 13 different allegations. They all have a similar story in the sense that they happened either in a massage parlor or a spa, but the level of the assault is different. It's varying. They're different stories as to what happened to these women. You have to take it at face value. And for all the people who are like, because I feel like this is what we do as a society. Oh, they file lawsuits. They're after money. Where's the criminal case? Why didn't they report this to the police? First of all, it's not our place to say that at all. Second, a civil assault is a real thing. It is intentionally or knowingly touching someone in a way that a reasonable person would regard as offensive. It is easier to prove a case in a civil court than it is in a criminal court. The burden of proof is different. So to me, it makes all the sense in the world that they're filing in civil court, that they're filing these lawsuits. And I think the best thing to answer, go back to your question, is don't assume anything. A lot of times people want to give credit to the person who is the star, who is the one who has the name, because you know them more than you know these 13 women who haven't been, or you think you know them more than these women who have not been identified yet publicly. And I think the best thing you do is just wait for the story. Just like we didn't talk about it when we had first heard, we're talking about it now, but we're just talking about it. We're not putting any type of conclusion on it. But I think the wrong thing to do, and I say this, and this is a person who's a friend of mine, Deshaun's agent, you know, he got a lot of flack on Twitter because he talked about that sexual assault is real. And he said that victims should be heard. Then he had a but. Individuals, he said, quote, individuals fabricate stories in pursuit of financial gain often. You shouldn't have said that. You put a but and you're discrediting these women and counting them out. I get it. You understand Deshaun in a different way than the rest of us do because you're his agent and you know him on a personal level. But it's wrong to do that. Because we don't know what the truth is at this point. All we know is that there are allegations and we need to allow the people who investigate these things and who handle this in a court system to do their job. And that's the way to do it.
So one of the women, he had seen her twice. She said she wasn't initially aware that he was the same man who had allegedly groped her before, but that he agreed not to be inappropriate again, but later told her he wanted to ejaculate and told her to touch his penis before allegedly forcing her mouth on his penis. This all comes when Deshaun Watson is in the middle of something professionally. You know, he's demanded a trade from the Houston Texans, and you know, all that's certainly takes a back burner to sort of these allegations. But I think it's also interesting the way this is being handled in the NFL. You know, Deshaun Watson hasn't been cut, released, suspended, or anything like that. It seems as if more so than anybody else that I've seen, if he was like an actor or something like that, and he had shows coming up and all of that stuff would be done. They would have taken them all of that stuff. If it was 13 women and he was an actor and he was on a television show or he was something like that, all of that stuff would be coming to a halt till this was over. It's a little different because of the structure of the NFL, but it may be a lot different, but it seems as if most places are giving him a fairer shake to kind of figure this whole thing out. And I'm interested in why.
That's what's alarming to me. People are still, you're still hearing about teams that are interested in trading for him. That's to me the wild thing more than anything. It's as if we're just going to continue to go about our day and not pretend that these 13 allegations aren't there. That's the more alarming thing. I'm looking side eye at these teams who are still considering having him on their team before they even do their due diligence and figure out what's going on with these lawsuits.
Let me ask you a question. So these women right now, we don't know who they are, right? They're anonymous. Much like in the situation with T.I., the women are anonymous. And there are a lot of people who say that their anonymity in some way takes away from the claims that they're making. Like, you gotta...
That's the dumbest thing.
People say... That's what people are saying. People are saying, like, anybody who's anonymous can say anything.
But people involved with the case, no.
Yeah, and that's why my thing is, like, they've talked to someone. They've talked to their lawyers.
Yeah.
They've talked to... Does it... Why do we have to know? It seems to me almost a way to force women to... Force an accuser, whoever it is, to be held up to some sort of ridicule. Like, if you're going to say this, you need to say it publicly in front of everyone. I don't know. In terms of the situation, this doesn't look good. Like, it
13. It just keeps growing, the number. Right. All similar stories.
Once again, Deshaun completely denies all of the allegations and says that they aren't true. It's just, that's a lot. That's a lot. As they mount. And we'll see. Hopefully, whatever the truth is, it does come to light. Let's take a break.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
As a plant-based cheese company, Daiya has never talked about beef in an ad before, because someone somewhere once had a beef with saying beef and plant-based together. So putting a slice of Daiya cheese on a beef burger, not okay. Well, our delicious melty cheese has a beef with your beef about beef, because any step towards plant-forward eating is a step in the right direction. Daiya, 100% plant-based, even if you're not. Now made with Daiya Oat Cream Blend.
Okay, it's time for Van's very serious question of the week. Are you ready for it?
Oh, I thought that was Thursday. No, I'm not ready. And the way you've been and the energy you've been bringing into this podcast, I'm actually a little afraid for whatever the question is.
First of all.
It's
every Monday. It's every Monday. Okay? Are you ready?
Go ahead.
So, you get to make one demand of the opposite sex forever. You get to one demand. You'll say this and men have to do this.
So like all men, not just my man.
All men, not just your man. All men have to do this forever. You get one wish. You have to use it on the opposite sex. Okay. What will be your one wish for the opposite sex? Opposite sex. One demand, one thing you can change, one thing you can implement, one thing men have to do forever. For every woman, for every person, you get to control one aspect of men. What is it? What would you make men do?
The first thing that comes to my mind is equality, right? Like, okay. You treat us as your equal in every form or fashion.
That's what you would do?
Yeah, equality. You got to treat us like you're equal.
So you get to make men do one thing for the rest of time.
This is so not. This is a question I really, really need to think about. But sure, if it's all men.
Okay,
sure.
There's nothing wrong with equality.
I'm just gonna go. That's my answer. Of course, there's nothing wrong with equality. Right. No, that's my answer.
That's a good answer.
That's my answer. Okay.
Treat women equally.
Oh, I got a good answer. Okay.
It's a good answer.
What's yours?
To women for the rest of life?
Yeah.
To leave us alone when we're doing stuff. That's the answer.
See, I don't think I do that.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
I bet you do. Brian.
What do you mean stuff? What do you mean when you're doing stuff?
When I'm doing stuff. When I'm playing the game.
See, Brian's not a gamer.
Don't tell me about what's going on with your home.
We watch sports together.
When I'm sitting down watching Avengers Mightiest Heroes. Tell me what's going on. Okay? When I'm hanging out.
So you're saying women are nagging. That's what I just heard. Women are naggers.
I'm saying just leave me alone when I'm trying to do
I'm over here fighting on the front lines for equality for women, and you're talking about we nag y'all.
Look, I'm telling you, I think personally that, if my wish was granted, there would be equality. I think that would be the
thing. That is the most sexist thing you've ever said on this podcast. Wow.
Look. So here's the deal. It's not, I don't want women to be like hyper twerkers or to be super sexual or to do anything like that or to, I need you to be home and do all that. I don't want none of that. Take care of me and cook my meal. None of that.
Look how he's imitating us, y'all.
No. That's how guys sound. I don't need none of that.
Oh, that's guys. Okay.
All I need is just leave me alone when I'm trying to do stuff. That's it.
But what if you're always doing something? You just want us to leave you alone?
Ooh, now that's a good question. What if you're always doing something? Because sometimes we are. That's a good question. But you know what? I think I should be able to have maybe like 4 hours a day of stuff. Just 4 hours of stuff. You know, that means just stuff.
That's not that long.
So you're cool with 4 hours a day? So,
yeah, because I got stuff to do too. Go ahead, have your little 4 hours.
So this is what we've discussed. This is the difference between men and women. Women want equality, and men want to be left alone while they're doing stuff. it's like, think about that.
I want equal pay. I want you to treat us the same. I want you to respect us the same way. Right. Yeah.
And I just want to be left alone while I'm doing stuff. That's it. What I'm sitting down, Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes is on, I'm watching Star Wars Rebels. You come down and then if I don't pay attention, now I'm bad. You know? So it's like, leave me alone while I'm doing stuff. You know what I'm saying? I need to be more attentive though. I do. I need to be more attentive. I need to do better.
I feel like another woman would say that I would want men to be more attentive.
Yeah. I need to be more attentive.
Actually, that might be my second one. That would have been my second one.
See? We're getting to the bottom of it. You know that you interrupt him while he's doing. What kind of stuff does Brian like to do?
That's not why. Brian loves sports. Mm-hmm. Brian is watching sports all the time.
Right. Do you, when you watch sports with him, do you watch sports with him?
I have a limit. Right? Like, I don't watch the NBA year round. Like, I like to watch when it starts to get popping or if there's a big matchup. Brian's watching it all the time. Especially if it's the Heat. And I'm like, nobody wants to watch. I don't want to watch the Heat. I don't want to watch that.
You know what it sounds like you're doing?
No, I go to another room. See,
I'll
leave
you alone.
Sounds
like you're talking to him while he's doing stuff.
Oh, I'm talking to you. I'll leave the room.
All right. That's the question. Equality and solitude.
I like this, though.
It's good.
I like that question.
It's a good one. Like, well, you get to make one rule. Leave me alone. I'm doing stuff. I'm playing the game. I'm playing a goddamn game. Okay? This game, this is Madden. Teach you how to play? No. No. You don't want to know how to play. I've been playing the same game since 1996. You too behind to learn how to play. It's not going to happen.
I feel like you're getting upset.
Let me play my goddamn game. Leave me alone. All right. Sorry, I'm not this bad of a partner. I'm sorry. Okay, we are
Kalika.
Done.
Poor Kalika.
We are done. Take your thinking caps off. Do not stop learning. I am Van Lathan.
I'm Rachel Lindsay.
We out.